You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Justin Rose goes back-to-back with a stunning victory at the Turkish Airlines Open.
To make so few mistakes is amazing, testament to caddy, Fuch and strategy and obviously just mental sharpness too, so maybe not making as many mental errors as sometimes you make, and I guess that's what's helping me get towards the top of the leaderboard.
An exciting final round saw the Englishman successfully fend off Nicholas Coulthard and Dylan Fratelli.
Very satisfied with the way I handled the last couple of holes, which gave me the opportunity to have a chance on 18. It's a little sour, but I mean, I have no regrets.
No, it was a great performance on the front nine. It got me into contention and played pretty well through the back nine, although a few putts slipped by. I'm still proud of the way I finished.
We'll speak exclusively to the South African later in the show as we review the best of the action. Plus, there's a look ahead to the penultimate event of the season, the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and today I'm joined by two-time European Tour winner Jamie Spence, one of the men, the few men on tour, to come from 10 shots back and win.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes, I remember
that. Long time ago.
Up in the mountains, yes, but sweet memories, Jamie, sweet memories.
Of course, Robert, yes.
You can never scrub your name off the trophy.
Hopefully
Fantastic
not.
Week in Turkey.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed looking at the golf course from afar. I thought it was a really good course. Looked great on TV. Saw lots of good shots. 18 under is about right on a course like that as well.
Greens were nice and firm,
weren't
they? Greens
were beautiful. I thought it was a great watch.
Yeah, Justin Rose, after having won the previous week, playing the back nine unbelievably well at the Sheshan International to win the HSBC Champions. It's really, really rare that you go on and win the following week, but he was under pressure if he wanted to be the European number one to have a great week in Turkey. It couldn't have gone better.
He just looked so comfortable yesterday, all day, really. And he just held those crucial putts that you need to do on that last day. I mean, terrific weekend, 64-65 from Justin. Full of confidence at the moment, as you say, coming off that win. But travelling quite a long way west, getting over the time lag as well. So, terrific performance from Justin, but he was being chased hard all the way from all sides, you'd have to say. Good performance from Coulthard after a disappointing Saturday. Fratelli hold a great birdie putt in the last as well. Shane Lowry, he could have got closer, but there's plenty of other challenges as well. And a good performance from Torbjörn Olofsson on his defence.
Fratelli chipped in at the 5th, the 6th and the 8th, which is outrageous. Harrington holed a shot to get himself out of trouble after he dunked it in the water. He was amazing. At one point, there are sometimes four, sometimes five players tied for the lead.
It was hard to pick.
Yeah.
It was a hard one to pick, but you just felt Justin was just not making the mistakes. Others just seemed to make the odd mistake, but Justin didn't do any of that. But it was close in the end, but he's so cool under pressure, Rose. And as I say, he just hits the shot. I mean, that shot into 17 out of the right-hand rough was a good shot to get it pin high there. Mm. You know, they look easy at that stage, but then they're far from that, and then a good 3 wood and a long iron into the last, and what impressed me is he knocks the putt in the middle of the hole.
The scramble coming down the last few holes, you've got to play some golf there, sort of 15, 16, 17, 18. They're not really giveaway birdie holes.
They were yesterday, weren't they?
Well,
they made him look that way.
Yes, the standard of golf was incredibly high.
It was, but I think when these players are on form, you know, their ball striking is terrific. Look at Coulthard with that 2 iron in his hand, he hits it 260, 270 off the tee. It's a great weapon to have on a course like that at the end of the round as well. And his iron play was fantastic. And when you're in the zone like that, they just all holing birdie putts on difficult holes. It made him look very easy. And there's water everywhere as well.
Tommy Fleetwood didn't have a bad week, just outside the top 20. But he has had a kind of 800,000 to a million point advantage up until now. But now it's sort of nip and tuck between him and Rose. He's definitely looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, it's 135,000. Tommy's playing this week down there in South Africa. Justin isn't. Justin says, I can't play four in a row. You can't blame him for that either.
No.
It's a tough.
You played three out of four, the last four. You've done
Tommy's,
well, I think.
Tommy's playing them all.
I know.
Justin realises it. He thinks he's got a win out there in Dubai. He's played well there before. You wouldn't put it past him coming in the top two, which means Fleetwood needs a result these next couple of weeks. I think this course down at Gary Player Country Club will suit Tommy. Suits the way he shapes the ball, but the pressure's on.
Yeah, he's not playing badly. It's just incredibly difficult to finish first, second or third, or to get those big chunky checks that gives you that sort of breathing space. Not always straightforward, that's for sure. Ricky Fowler said, Justin Rose and Fuchs going back-to-back. Nice work, boys. Thomas Bjorn, not many adjectives left to describe this man. Congratulations, Justin Rose. Unbelievable couple of weeks. And Justin Rose himself said, good night from Turkey. What a fantastic 2 weeks on the road. Time to get home and see the family. Because he did make the point, if he played in South Africa, he'd be on the road for 6 weeks on the bounce.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You're just going to wear yourself out. You've always got to look ahead in the game, and the temptation would be to go and play. But I think he's done the right thing.
He's probably going to, you know, try and max that last week, and you have to recharge, don't you?
The effort he's put in over the last couple of weeks is immense.
Well, we heard what Justin said on social media. Let's see what he had to say after his second victory in a week.
You know, every win is different. You never get tired of it, obviously. And they challenge you in different ways. So you're kind of always learning almost like a new skill every time you win. And today, I think for me, the most exciting thing was going head-to-head down the stretch with Nicholas and then seeing Dylan make his birdie at 18 to get to 17. I kind of very much knew what the situation was. And then when Nicholas hit that beautiful iron shot into 18, you know, I heard that I assumed he was within sort of 10 feet. So I knew I needed to follow him. So to hit shots when you really have to on the last hole is very rewarding.
One bogey and one double bogey all week. I mean, you must be playing or feel you're playing some of the best golf you've played for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, 70 holes at par or better is, you know, I don't think I've been that consistent before. I think that's my best ever par or better total. To make so few mistakes is amazing. Testament to caddy, Fuchs and strategy and obviously just, you know, I guess mental sharpness too. So maybe not making as many mental errors as sometimes you make. And I guess that's what's helping me get towards the top of the leaderboard.
And in terms of the overall standings, does this give you a dilemma now about whether to go to South Africa next week, knowing that, you know, Tommy's now well within range?
Yeah, it definitely gives me a dilemma. I think that I'm going to stick to my guns and stick to the schedule that I kind of had laid out. You know, next week's really important for me. Even though I'm not playing, it's a really important week for me. I'm going to catch up with my coaches. I'm going to catch up with my physio. I'm going to catch up on some work. I'm going to get the body feeling good. Come back to Dubai, giving myself the best possible chance. So even though I'm not technically playing, I'm going to be doing a lot of good work.
And thanks to Mark Tompkins for troweling out that interview with Justin Rose. Now, the last 2 weeks for Rose, two events played, two wins, eight rounds, 32 under par, 67.5 his average score, €2.4 million earned, €4,417 per shot, Jamie.
Yeah, that's a nice stat to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you had that for a year or so, you wouldn't have to play any more golf, that's for sure. But Justin said that even though he's taking this week off, he's still going to be working on other things in his game. He's going to get his body right, get down the gym a bit, hit a few balls, stay sharp and get out to Dubai.
Do you know, this is all our yesterdays. Boring, but I'm going to give you this anyway. 1983 was my first season on tour and I kept my card with £1,100. And he has made €4,417 per shot in the last 2 weeks.
Is this
things have moved on, Jamie. That's all I'm saying.
Is this a history
that's
program?
That's all I'm saying. It wasn't a history program. That's right. A lot of cobwebs involved.
What,
but anyway,
what he also
that's
said,
unbelievable, isn't it?
What he also said, Justin, was that up till 2 weeks ago, he'd give himself a B minus for the season, and he's now giving himself an A minus. He's still toughing himself. He said one part of the Masters, he'd have given himself an A plus. So
he's close.
He's really close.
He's really close. The win makes Rose just the third player to follow up a World Golf Championship win with another victory the following week after Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. That is heady company indeed. And the Olympic champion leapfrogs Sergio Garcia into second place in the race to the Dubai rankings. And the gap, as Jamie said, is just 134,839 points behind Tommy Fleetwood at the top. Right, to the rest of the leaderboard now. And after a spectacular effort saw him finish tied second, I'm delighted to say that Dylan Fratelli joins us on the Race to Dubai show. Dylan, an amazing week. Well done.
Cool, thanks a lot. Yeah, it was a fun week out there in Turkey and definitely a lucrative week for me.
Would you describe the final round as fun?
I would, yeah. I felt really calm through the back nine. Previously, whether it was Austria or China early in the season, I definitely felt the nerves and may not have reacted as well as I should have under pressure. But this time, I definitely kept my composure a whole lot better and seemed to bring out some better results.
Have you ever chipped in three times in nine holes before?
No, I don't think I've chipped in three times in one round in my whole career, so that was a pretty crazy experience.
Was it all with the same club?
Yes, in fact, it was. It was no, I lie. It was a sand wedge on the second chip, and the lob wedge was on the first and the third one. But similar shots, all just kind of get it up in the air and let it run to the hole.
What about the 18th? A terrific iron shot into the last, and a terrific birdie as well. Did you think that you'd done enough by that stage?
No, I knew standing in the fairway, my caddy said to me, hey, we need birdie here. We need to put some pressure on the guys behind us. So I knew I needed something strong into the green, hit a great shot there, and then managed to bottle the putt and emotions came out a little bit. But yeah, I knew it was just a matter of applying some pressure and hoping that something fortuitous happened to the guys behind me.
Are you amazed how quickly things can happen on the European Tour?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I came in obviously off a Challenge Tour card, wasn't sure what to expect, how many events I would play, and the year really got off to a good start in South Africa, and I just kept it rolling from there. And I mean, I thought, oh, the season's pretty much over now. I've got these three events to come, and I'll play them, and I'll see how well I can do, try and move up the rankings, and my goal is to get in the top 30 by the end of the year. All of a sudden, I'm up to 18th. Now I'm looking at possibly aiming for the top 10 with these last two events to go.
Now, you won earlier in the season at Lyoness Open in Austria. Did you play better there when you won or yesterday when you were runner-up?
Probably yesterday. Austria was a good performance in the final round. I played really well down the stretch, and I did yesterday as well, but a more complete game throughout the whole tournament in Turkey. I definitely struck the ball well from the second round. I only had one bogey the last three rounds, so three and a half rounds almost. So that definitely bodes well to my ball striking for the rest of the season.
Now, we know you're walking the course as you talk to us at Nedbank at the Gary Player.
Yes.
Now, what's it like? I know it's a long course. We've been there. We've seen, but you're right there on the ground. Give us an appraisal.
It's looking good, I must say. They've had a bit of trouble, I guess, with water and heat. So it's a bit brown and burnt off the edges, but the fairways are perfect. Greens are perfect and immaculate condition everywhere else. It's just a little bit dry, sort of into the bushy scrubland, which hopefully I don't get to visit this week. And it's going to be hot. I've heard the forecast is just for hot and dry weather throughout the week and throwing a few thunderstorms, I'm sure. But yeah, it's all good.
Have you played any tournament rounds around this course?
The last time I played was about 11, 12 years ago, to be honest. It was an amateur or junior tournament, in fact. So I'm trying to draw on some old memories here to get some info. That's why I'm out Monday fresh and early after the trip over here to try and get as much reconnaissance done as I can.
So you're getting the preparation done. Will you have a day off maybe Tuesday and do absolutely nothing just to kind of recharge the batteries?
Wednesday is probably that day. I've got the pro-am tomorrow morning, so I'll be out bright and early for that 8:10 tee time, and then Wednesday likely just hit some balls, have a little workout with my trainer, and then lay low the rest of the day.
Now, you finished second, obviously, in Turkey as playing on your own, off your own back, for yourself. And you also, sadly, to a bunch of English players, finished second in your attempt to record the fastest hole ever played.
Yeah, that was probably the two bad parts of the week, but it was still an awesome time going out there under the lights trying to break that world record, which I guess we did break the world record, but only held it for about 30 minutes until England broke it. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. Obviously, Justin Rose, another Englishman, flipping me at the post.
How did you decide who did what in the elements, in the four elements, to try and make the fastest time?
I guess Hayden and Brandon were really excited. So George and I sat back and said, well, you guys can take the tee shot and the iron shot. We'll figure it out from there. Brandon struggled a bit to hit the fairway on a couple of the practice attempts, but once he got it right, Hayden was bang on with that 9-iron that he hit in there. I think the blame probably lies with George Kutsia. He was trying to pin it on me for not tapping it in quick enough. But after watching the film, I think he took about a second or two too long on that putt.
It's definitely George's fault, without a doubt.
Yeah, blame George. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I've got some backup there.
Yeah, we're going to back you all the way, Dylan. Listen, a fantastic week for you. You're up to 18th in the race to Dubai. And as you say, two big weeks coming up. Enjoy South Africa, the Gary Player Country Club. And we'll talk to you soon.
Cool, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good to hear Dylan in great form. I'm not sure. I think he was trying to sort of hide it a little bit, that he was more disappointed about losing the world's fastest hole to England than he was losing to Justin Rose in the main event.
Well, the South Africans traditionally don't like losing to the English, do they?
No, they don't.
So there is a bit of history there.
So Brandon Stone, Hayden Porteous, Dylan Fratelli, George Kutsia, they went first and posted 32.96 seconds.
That would beat most countries, right?
It beat the previous record
it
held by
fantastic.
The French.
Yeah.
And the French had their crack here. They didn't come up to scratch this time round. And then it was the turn of Ian Poulter, Tyrrell Hatton, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Matthew Southgate. And Poulter said to Tyrrell, as they sort of huddled before they had a go at it, now, Tyrrell, no losing the head.
Good advice, I'd say.
Very good advice. And well, Tyrrell
only Poulter could say that.
Tyrrell laughed about it. And I'm pretty sure it was Tyrrell who smashed the drive. And then it was Matthew Fitzpatrick who ran and hit the second shot in. And then Poulter putted from off the green short to within probably 3 feet. And Matthew Southgate hustled in there and wrapped it in the back. And they beat the South Africans by just over, a tenth of a second. And now they are the fastest Hull ever played.
I can see other countries and other teams having a go at this record. It could be an ongoing situation this every year. Good score. Good time.
How do you think you'd have fared? Just, you know, walking, running up to it and smacking it.
I used to do that anyway.
Yeah, when you knew you were no good on the Friday and you were heading for the airport, yes, correct.
Might have broken a few clubs in between, but we'd have got there.
Yeah, we'd have got there. You can watch The Fastest Hole of Golf Part 2 on the European Tour website and on all their social media platforms. Right, back to the leaderboard now. Despite leading by 5 shots at one stage, Nicholas Kolsaerts had to settle for a share of second. The Belgian, though, said he was pleased with his week.
Very satisfied with the way I handled the last couple of holes, which gave me the opportunity to have a chance on 18. It's a little sour, but I mean, I have no regrets. It wasn't really like I was firing all cylinders till the last couple of holes. I mean, I was only two after 12, and then it was a test of patience, actually. Made sure that I was still, you know, there and about, it's too bad the little one on 18 doesn't drop, but it's the sport.
Is there a player in world golf, Jamie, and I always think of you and I picture this in my head, that has more effortless power than Nicholas Kolsaerts? Is there?
You're a cruel man, Lee. You're a cruel man. He does make ball striking look very easy. It's just a great rhythm to his
swing. You think he's just had a sort of, you know, a pass at it and it just takes off like a rocket?
He hits it low as well, but carries it a long way. It's an extraordinary talent to have. Yeah. Most people have to launch it high to get that carry. Nicholas doesn't. It goes at lovely low ball
flight. It's a forward penetrating flight with carry.
And it's very deceptive as well. Mm-hmm. You don't realise how far he's in it. Listen, the 41 he shot on the back nine on Saturday.
Yeah, killed him, didn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to come back from that against a quality
fielder.
He nearly
did.
Well, he nearly did. Had a putt in the last to tie him up and just slip by. So, but he won a nice, healthy check. He's gone up to 24th in the race to Dubai. His career's massively back on track over the last few years. He's got to be thinking...
Ryder Cup points,
yes. Why not? That's where he's thinking.
Absolutely. Podrick Harrington should be mentioned, really, because he finished fourth on 16 under par after a final round of 67, which included what we mentioned earlier in the show, holing out from 60 yards at the 10th. He looked more like his old self.
Yeah, he did. And I would say he'd be thinking Ryder Cup as well, Podrick. You know, being vice-captain would have spurred him on to get back in the team, I'd have to say. And he's made a good start to the campaign.
And you did mention that Torbjørn Ellison's effort at defending this championship was commendable.
Great defence when you can challenge. I mean, it was a time down the back nine. You thought he might just get there as well and defend and win it again.
Well, he said on Twitter, "I fought to the end. Thanks for all the support this week at the Turkish Airlines Open. What a fantastic tournament as it was." Top 10, please, Jamie, from the Turkish Airlines Open.
Yeah, tied eighth, Fabrizio Zanotti. We didn't see much of Fabrizio, but a terrific performance. Julian Suri from the United States, he was also tied eighth, along with Shane Lowry. Eddie Pepperell was sixth with Kiridek Afibarmra. He's playing well. Torbjørn Olesen, fifth. Harrington, fourth. Fratelli and Kolsaerts, just one shy of our champion, Justin Rose.
Now, in the fancy race to Dubai tips, I went for Tyrrell Hatton, who finished tied 16th, and Austin Connolly after his tremendous interview last week. Plus 5 for Austin, tied 70th. Dan Roebuck, in your absence, Jamie, went for Bernd Wiesberger, tied 48th, and Nacho Elvira, tied 30th.
Fantastic tipping, boy.
Well,
fantastic tipping.
All I'm saying, in a race between race, I've come out on top again. That's all I wanted to say.
I don't know how.
But nowhere near the winner.
Well, cumulatively, actually, you haven't.
You'll get your chance.
No, cumulatively, you have your 86.
Don't be ridiculous. We don't look at second.
It was
we just look
pathetic.
At who won. Well, you'll get your big chance this week,
understand.
Won't you, Spence? Yes,
I understand.
You know the rules. In the fancy race to the Dubai game, Jason Collier still leads the overall standard. Well, Peter Cocchiere scored the most points this week after having Justin Rose and tied second Nicholas Kolsaerts as well. Meanwhile, in our race to Dubai Mini League, Mike Rays registered the most points this week and his fellow listener Eddie Whitefield still leads the way at the top. Congratulations to both. How'd you get on this week, Jamie, with your tips?
Well, I had Justin as my captain in HSBC.
Well, I mentioned
that.
I gave you a mention.
I took him out and I kept him in my team.
Yeah.
But I made Stenson favourite. I thought he was prime, Rob.
Yeah.
But he didn't quite come
didn't
up.
Didn't go for it with that
didn't
driver off the last,
him at
did he?
All.
Didn't go with the driver off
so
the last tee.
Why did I not keep Justin in there?
Well, anyway. Why didn't you? Well, you kept him in there, but you didn't make him captain.
Correct.
Remember to head to EuropeanTour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the next Rolex event, the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Jamie, top 10 in the race to the Dubai standings, please.
Well, in 10th spot is Rory McIlroy. Molinari Francesco, that is. He's in 9th. Alex Noren, 8th. Rafa Cabrera Bello in 7th. Ross Fisher, 6th. Tyrrell Hatton, 5th. John Rahm is 4th. Sergio, 3rd. Justin Rose, he's in 2nd spot, just behind our leader, Tommy Fleetwood.
Who's your tip? Tommy, Justin, John Rahm, Cabrera Bayer, what do you think?
I think it's going to be really close.
Well, it is now, with the money on offer.
I'd like Tommy, I really would like Tommy to win it. But Justin's definitely going to put the heat. I can see Justin finishing top four in Dubai. So therefore, Tommy needs a result.
And Tommy's got to play
Tommy
well,
needs a result,
but, you
no
know,
doubt.
But Tommy's going to know he can't limp over the line here.
Tommy's played a lot of golf lately.
Yep.
And that might count against him. Or, you know, you can't keep sitting on aeroplanes and travelling around expecting to play great golf. It's not easy.
You didn't give me a name, did you?
Well, my heart is with Fleetwood, really, but my head says Justin. He's got the form and he's got the momentum.
So you're going to... So you're sort of saying Justin, aren't
I
you?
I am, yeah.
Kind of. I'm going to stick with Tommy. Oh, yes.
Well, you tip him every week, so I'm not surprised.
Well, I'm going to continue to see things as I see them. Top 10 in the world rankings, please, Jamie.
Well, in 10th place, the American poster boy, Ricky Fowler. 9th is Henrik Stenson. Rory McIlroy is at 8th in the world. Who'd have thought it? Brooks Koepka, 7th. Justin hasn't moved at all. He's at 6th. John Rahm at 5. Matsuyama, 4. Justin Thomas at 3. Spieth at 2. And Dustin Johnson, the number 1.
Now, in other news, Clément Sauday secured his 2nd victory of the year at the Challenge Tour's final event of the season, the NBO Golf Classic Grand Final at Al Mooj Golf in Oman. A dramatic final day also saw the top 15 in the season-long Road to Oman rankings clinch their European Tour cards for the 2018 season. So, it's congratulations to Clément Sauday, Aaron Rye, Julien Guerrier, Ryan Evans, Pedro Oriol, Stephen Brown, Scott Fernandez, Erik van Rooyen, Marcus Kinholt, Oliver Farr, Chase Koepka, Jens Dantorp, Adrian Sadier, and Bradley Neal. Jamie, you can't make the financial gains on a Challenge Tour that you can on the main tour, but there's a massive prize there if you finish in the top 15, and that is the opportunity to pit your wits against the best players there are.
Well, that's exactly right, Rob, and that's what they all started the season with, that goal in mind, and they'll get a good crack at it next year. You can think at least 6 of these are going to keep their European Tour playing card next year. Some really good young talent here. Aaron Rye has done very well. Marcus Hinault, the young Swede. Bradley Neal hold a really good putt in the last to grab 15th spot. There's pressure for you.
And quite often, someone's joy is someone else's pain. When it's like that.
It is always like that. It means Tanno Gooia was in the top 15 going into the last day and slipped out. But you're absolutely right. But for all these players, they've got a bright future and it's exciting times for them.
Now, there's one man that we left off the list, and that's the man at the top, the 2017 Race to Oman winner, Tapio Pulkkinen. Tapio, that must sound very good to you.
Yeah, sounds great. Looking forward to the next season, absolutely.
What is it you enjoyed the most about the season-long challenge?
I think the win in Kazakhstan was absolutely the best feeling in my life, so that was nice.
3 runners-up as well, Tapio, so your form throughout the season was very, very consistent, just waiting for that win, which, as you say, eventually came in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I started the season really well. I was 2nd in my first tournament in Turkey, and then I was 2nd in Czech Republic as well a couple of weeks after, and a couple of seconds, so I was hungry for the win in the end of the season. And after that, I was 2nd in China as well. So,
are you a Finn, Tapio, that lives in Finland, or do you live somewhere else in Europe or somewhere in America? Where do you live?
I live in Helsinki.
So when you go back to Helsinki, will they give you a ticker tape parade then? Because, you know, you're the first Finn ever to achieve this honour.
Yeah, I haven't had any super party yet, but maybe later.
So what are you looking forward to the most next season? Because your mind's got to go straight. You're going to go to Hong Kong, I presume, in a couple of weeks. What's your schedule looking like for next season?
I haven't really decided yet, but I looked at the schedule, and Abu Dhabi, Dubai would be really nice to play. It's tricky to get in those, but I think I will maybe just make it to the list. And of course, the Rolex Series is very, very great tournaments there. So I would like to play some Lynx golf in Scotland, and a lot of good tournaments in European Tour.
What are the strengths of your game, Tapio?
I think my biggest strength is, of course, long drive, so I can take advantage on the par fives a lot, and I think the chipping has been really good as well this season.
I think of, when I think of Finnish sportsmen, I think of javelin throwers. So
I think of ski jumpers.
Do you?
Ski jumpers.
Yeah.
That's what Finland's famous for, isn't it, Tapio?
Javelin throw is definitely the biggest summer sport in Finland, actually. So we've been really, really successful in that, and I think we are overall better in the Winter Olympics than the Summer Olympics. So.
So who are your sporting idols, Tapio? Who are your sporting idols and who are your golfing idols as you're growing up?
Of course, Tiger Woods is my golfing idol ever. So I have also Mikko Ilonen is one idol in Finland. And I've had a couple of skiers. Mika Myllylä was my idol, actually. Cross-country skier and a couple of ski jumpers as well. Janne Ahonen was one of the idols.
If you weren't a golfer, Tapio, what would you be?
I've been thinking about it a little bit. I would probably be a school teacher, actually. A good option.
Not sort of. I see you as a kind of a pop star.
I don't think I'm a pop star, no. School teacher would be better for me, I think.
Let's take you forward a year. Where would you like to be in your golfing career? Can you see yourself winning on the main European Tour?
Yeah, that's my goal, absolutely, to win on European Tour. It would be great. So that's a goal for next season, actually. So we'll see how it goes.
Tapio, great to talk to you. A fantastic achievement to be the best player on the Challenge Tour, and it sets you up nicely for what will be a very exciting 2018 season. Many, many congratulations from us here on the Race to Dubai show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he must be very pleased and proud of his performance. But in a way, Jamie, you tucked that away because now it really starts.
Yeah, Rob, same with every golfer this time of year. You've got to forget what you've done and get on with the next job. You're only as good as your next tournament, really. So that doesn't count for anything. It gets him in some more tournaments, obviously, being the number one. But ultimately, he's going to start from zero in a couple of weeks. Start again.
I knew, but did you know that when asked about his strengths and weaknesses, that he would say, you know, hitting the ball a long way.
I
absolutely knew because he was a Finn.
Well, I didn't know.
Hit the ball a long way.
I didn't know, but it's a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
He's obviously gives the ball a healthy smack.
Well done, Tapio. Tremendous stuff. Now, the next event, two to go on the European Tour, is the Rolex Series Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player at the Gary Player Country Club, which used to be just a beast of a course. But now, you know, some of these top players can go low around it.
It is a beast, of course. Yeah. I've played it a few times. I know you have.
It's a great golf course.
These guys hit the ball so far now. Plus, you're playing at altitude. It's hot, so the ball will definitely travel further. It does there. They move a couple of tees up on the fives to make them more exciting, particularly the ninth with the island green. I think, for me, it suits players to hit the ball right to left. I mean, I've counted up just roughly here. You know, I've got...
And yet Alex Noren won last year, hitting the fade.
Yeah, well, of course, he's a quality player. Quality players can win anywhere, Rob, but I think there's a definite advantage for hitting the ball right to left. There's 10 holes here that I think a draw suits. You've obviously got four par threes and the others, you know, pretty straight. So, you know, there's a definite advantage for me.
Last year, the last round... I'm not sure this can be bettered anywhere. For 11 holes, Alex Noren was 9 under par around that golf course.
Yeah, 63 shot in the end, was it?
In the end he did, but 9 under through 11 holes.
No, but forget that, it was windy.
Unbelievable.
It was breezy, the greens are pretty firm. It was incredible control of the golf ball he showed us that day, Noren. Mind you, he was right on top of his game, wasn't he?
He was playing, he was in the purple patch, wasn't he?
He was.
But he was playing some amazing stuff. Chances of Alex retaining his title?
Well, there's an obvious chance. You've got to look for players that have done well here before, I would suggest. Lee Westwood, you know, he's won round here. And Thomas Bjorn, he's playing here. He's won here a few years ago. But you're probably looking at Fleetwood, Hatton, Ross Fisher, Cabrera Bayo, Matt Fitzpatrick, Wiesberger, Alderson. You know, the names that we really are talking about. Francesco Molinari, great course, always in great condition. The South African players... you would think would have a big advantage here, but you look through the records of Schwartzall, Grace, Oosthuizen, who are playing here this week, and others. You'd expect one of those to have won it by now, but they haven't.
No. Of all the sort of creepy, crawly nasties that you could find as you, you know, traverse the fairways at the Gary Player Country Club, what would you least like to come up against?
Well, I love animals, so none of all the monkeys and mongooses, and they'll leave you alone, and the impala, they won't come near you, but the snakes. Yeah, you go in the rough, they are there So you've got to be very. You need a local caddy to warn you, keep him ahead of you for a start.
When you used to go in the rough I was told if you're going to go in the rough, you beat the driver on the ground, let the ground vibrate so it runs away.
Absolutely. They don't want confrontation with you. They will run away. I don't want to test that theory. But you're right. I used to go in there with a club, but you get the mambas in there, and you haven't got long if they bite you.
No, you've got to sort of get the old anti-venom in there pretty sharp.
You'd have to play the last few holes rather quickly to sign your card.
You'd be allowed to get on the buggy then, would you?
I'm not sure they'd let you. Okay. Would the rules of golf allow you if you've been bitten by a snake?
Hopefully so.
Probably.
Okay, tips for Jamie Spence.
Oh, it's easy this week.
Well, I'm giving you... you've got two. Well, I mean,
we've already discussed this.
You gave us a shellacking. So now we're going to see what you've got.
Don't pretend I'm getting first pick because you've already selected yours and made sure I can't select
that. No. We did alternate picks. So go first.
We're doing sort of a favourite and an outsider.
You can have...
Not two favourites.
You can just have two.
Well, I'm going to go for Cabrera Bayo.
Right.
Quality player.
Yeah.
Came fifth in the HSBC a few weeks ago.
And really does need a win if he's going to get into
doesn't
the...
Doesn't win as much as you think. I think he's won three times.
No, but he needs a win to get into the conversation in Dubai, you would think, with Rose and Fleetwood.
He won in Scotland, won a Rolex event there, so quality player, didn't play last week, fresh, corsage suit, so he's my first
And
pick.
It's going to be hot as well.
Yeah, Spaniard, he loves playing.
Used to hot weather, yeah.
May play anywhere. And the other one, I'm going for an outsider, though he shouldn't be an outsider, is Victor Dubuisson. I don't know what's ever come in with Victor, but he's... Last two times he's played, he's finished in the top five. So it's a course that he likes. He likes to draw the ball, funnily enough.
You see, you come from the Dan Roebuck book of stats and the way you look up things. It's
well, you're
not
just
luck.
Feel. You're
it's
just feel
luck.
And love,
I told
aren't
you, I'm
feel
a gut person. I'm a gut person.
So let me guess, Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood. But I'll give you rationale.
Go on, then.
I'm saying Tommy Fleetwood because he's had to hang in there for a few weeks watching Sergio have a go and now Justin have a go. He's still out in front.
Centre stage, is.
And I think this week he now realises that the sort of comfortable buffer will not be there at Dubai. He's actually got to go out there and get it. So, you know, I'm backing Tommy. And as you quite rightly say, a lot of the right-to-left shapes on this golf course will suit the way Tommy hits the ball.
Listen, I know Tommy very well. This is made for him.
Yeah.
Made for him.
But you didn't go for him.
Because I knew you picked him first.
Okay. I've gone for Tommy, and I've gone for another Tommy. Tommy Peters.
God, they're two...
Tommy.
So which one?
Tommy
which
Peters.
One's your outsider?
My outsider.
Tommy.
Tommy Peters is my
That's
outsider.
Pathetic.
Tommy Peters is my outsider. Although he played much better last week.
As your tipping is so bad, we'll allow you two favourites.
Would you? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Would you like to change?
Nope.
You can have anyone you want in the whole field.
No, because I've only picked two. I was told.
I didn't realise it was the rules.
I was told by a producer
hashtag
to pick a
Jamie Spence.
I was told by a producer to pick a favourite and an outsider.
Yeah, that's right.
What more can I say?
And you certainly have done. Well done with that. That's it for now. We will be back next week to look back at events in South Africa and see how Jamie's wonder tips get on. Also look ahead to the season-ending DP World Tour Championship, where the winner of the Race to Dubai will be crowned. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. Jamie has them all on his phone. And do leave us a review if you are downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Jamie Spence, just to repeat, who has gone for...
Cabrera Bayo and Dubuisson.
And me, Robert Lee, have gone for the two Tommies in Fleetwood and Peters. We'll see you next week.